I don't know whether others are going to join us later at the usual hour or not. Or whether some of you will endure to the end and thus be saved. I don't know. You better probably at least wait for 2 or 3 minutes, 2 o'clock, at least to change seats rather than an hour and a half in one place, I should think. So we'll just go ahead with this first half hour anyhow. It leaves us more room to give and take up questions and interchange. Certain questions is a matter you have what God shows you, must I have what God shows me, and we just interchange, that's all. I'll see also whether at 2 o'clock we ought to do a carrying up exercise again and move this up. We'll wait and see. Lord, here we are again, and my amazing grace, here you are. And that's all. We just put it together, and each time, of course you're here, and more than that, somehow we've been awareness of your presence, and you shed your light on this and that. And thank you, you just continue now as you have been doing. Thank you for your word, thank you for your spirit, thank you for your living body through which the interchange comes, by which we learn one from another, share one with another. So thank you. Amen. I think particularly for this first period, I'll open for the interchange of other people sharing. Some of what we've been saying around which we've been centering our thoughts, what is the uses of the human self? So this is what we're after. What is the use of the human self? It's our interest. In a sense, it's our own interest. Well, as I say, all we have is ourselves, only of course we get another self instead of ourselves, but it's still ourselves in that sense. It's all we ever have. And all we have in life is the effect of things upon us. All we have is our own consciousness. It's all along. We don't really see things, we only see things as we see them. That's all we ever do. It's only in the fourth dimension we see from all sides. As I say, you don't see every side of a chair, you only see one side. You can't see every side on the inside. That's another dimension. So we only really see what it becomes a consciousness to us, and all we have. That's what life is. So we're talking about the right uses of the human self, which is what the Bible's full on. It centers around God's plan for man, from his creation to his ultimate destiny. So in a sense, God's in the background of the Bible, and man's in the foreground. What God is about in relation to his creation of man is the center. Now, what we saw, right in the middle of what we said yesterday and so on, for right use of our human selves, there has to be a disappearance before there is a reappearance. This is what we said yesterday. For the right use of the human self, there has to be a disappearance before there is a reappearance, because there has been an appearance on the wrong level. We started life with the false appearance of humanity as if we're the people run our own lives, and as if life is a separated person running his own life by his own means, for his own ends. That's what we are when we're the members of the kingdom of darkness, under the control of fear and self-centeredness. So that self-appreciation, self-magnification, self-development is life. Now there has to be a disappearance of that. Before there can be a reappearance of the true use of the human. The disappearance started when we discovered that we hadn't been who we were meant to be. Because that's why we're so thankful that the fall wasn't total in the same sense as the devil's fall was total. The devil's fall was the fall of the spirit. Man's fall was the fall of the flesh. The fall of the spirit, is your inner self. It's your ultimate choices. And the Bible reveals that the ultimate choice of the spirit is self-centered. It's for himself. See, he has an ultimate choice. That means he's impervious to any voice from God. Because he has become his own God. And he's perverted. So what is good to God is evil to the devil. What is evil to God is good to the devil. It's a simple reversal. In other words, all that involves self-loving is bad. All that involves self-giving is good. Self-getting. All that involves self... Like how I? All that involves self-giving, from the devil's point of view, is bad. That's God. All that involves self-loving is good. Devil's in reverse. And he's fixed from his center. Now, humans didn't go far on that. They were stimulated by the flesh, the outer, at the fall, through the temptation. And they did respond to the center, but they responded by almost a trick. The Bible says, Eve was deceived. You see, women are gullible and men are slaves. So women get tricked, and then men have to follow the women in their tricks. So you see, Eve follows Satan, the poor thing had to follow Eve. So we're done for. We've been doing it ever since. that's right there, the fall of man. It's right there in the Bible. And Eve was deceived, man was willful. But he was willful in following Eve, not against God. It says that Eve fell through deceit. Adam fell willfully. He didn't fell willfully against God, he fell willfully for Eve. That's what they've been doing ever since. So see, it was a flesh fall, rather than a spirit fall. They didn't mean to be apart from God. God wasn't looking. Well, he happened to be. That's all. The proof is, the immediate time they did, they were conscious of absence from God. They hid. That's it. They were conscious of God. The devil doesn't hide. The devil comes face to face with God and says, I'm no use to you. I'm himself. He confronts God face to face and says, another God. He doesn't do that. He hides. Thank God. That's why there's a laid in man the deposit of consciousness of what he is. So you've got to Paul had a lot of outreach for the non-Christian. I can't discuss that now. He had a much bigger outreach for the non-Christian than most of us missionaries think he had. And one thing he said about the non-Christian is they have consciences. He said their consciences bear witness. You'll find that you understood about the non-Christian. Never heard of God before. Their consciences bear witness. Their thoughts to me while asking you to excuse one another. And that's a discussion we can't hardly go into now. It's very interesting about the missionaries. The missionaries used to be broadening along that line. But in other words, there is that in all of them, we know that. That's its deposit. You see, because our being is God. Paul again is the man who made that remarkable where most of the Bible believe he even don't like it. But the Bible says, all men are in God, not only believed. Paul says that is remarkable Athenian speech. When he said, for God has made of one blood all nations, but it's all men of all nations that dwell upon the face of the earth. It happened they might seek after God and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. See, take it gradually. For in him we live and move our being, all men, not only indeed, all nations, have their being in God. Because we have our being in God, and because our freedom hasn't gone as far as Satan's freedom is cutting the clean off, which you can do. We discussed yesterday how you can become a devil. Because we haven't got so far, we join Satan and belong to Satan, and are in the kingdom, Satan's kingdom, we're slaves of Satan, and we end in Satan's destiny, we continue that way. At the same time, there remains in us, because we haven't that ultimate choice against God, there remains in us that which is the voice of God, which you ought to be so-and-so. You ought to be, you know what you ought to be. You ought to love. You ought to have certain right and wrong standards. Thank God. That's how it gets us. So that's why, thank God, there is the tragedy in humanity. Thank God for tragedy. Thank God for chaos. Thank God everything disturbs us and hurts us. Suffering is not our trouble, sin is our trouble. Suffering is not a blessing. We make two other suffering, two different sins. It's very easy for us to have a sort of sentimental concern for suffering. No, it's sin that matters. For instance, now I work with the lepers. Now lepers look very suffering. Of course I know they are, to the point. That's something for different ones. They look very ghastly, you know. Now my point when I go to work among lepers isn't to heal their body. Why? If I just heal their body, I mean it nearly produce a healthier egoist. That's all. He just loves himself a little more and use life for himself a little more. I go to the leper and say, look here, you've got, I'm going to do what you can to your body. Of course I can, I've got some medicine for you, I'll do what I can for you. And so on. But that's not the point. I've got something far bigger than that. You're a child of God, you're going to do it. And it's got that holy mother new body waiting for you one day. But you've got a wrong spirit in you. You know the things you've got in lepers, you know your selfishness and your hates and your murders and your lusts and so on. You've got a wrong spirit in you. I've got to tell you what you really want is to have God's spirit in you, Jesus in you, who makes you another kind of person. And instead of being a person who just loves the people, you love about people. What happens? You turn, not to heal lepers, but to make lepers healers. Not to heal lepers, but to make lepers healers. So they may, some of them never get their scars off, of course. They may never get their disease corrected. But all depending on their to tell other people about Jesus and get other people healed. So as I'm saying, I'll just underline the fact, suffering isn't the world problem, suffering is the world blessing. Sin is the world problem. And so we have to be very careful. That's why social work can't take the place of gospel work. If they can be combined or not, social work only affects the ego. Let's be a bit bigger and less egoist. But if of course there must be, we are people of compassion, we must have do what we can, as we do, we missionaries do, to heal the sick and educate them and so on. That's not our main line. Any more than with Jesus. There's a certain with Jesus, always reluctant to heal. I couldn't help healing because it's a compassionate Jesus. He's reluctant to heal, always trying to hide it. Because he wanted the real healing, was to get people who become healers. So the gospel isn't to improve, it's to make you an improver of others. You get the point? The gospel doesn't make you a blessing, it's to make you a blesser. It's not to make you a comforter, it's to make you a comforter. Because that's what God is. God's gospel is one for others. One of the most remarkable basic facts concerning that is Paul always based his gospel back on Abraham. He went way back to Abraham. He said, I'll base the gospel of the grace of God on Abraham. He's the first person who believed God's grace and counted on his righteousness. Now the very first vision in the head of God of glory appeared to Abraham. The very first Prince of Glory, glory means just the best you can be. Glory is the highest you can think of. Now I said, the God of glory, the highest kind of person you can think of, appears to Abraham. That's what glory means. What's he saying? That this God said to him, now Abraham, if you come along with me, I'll bless you and I'll make you a blessing. And in you all families of earth shall be blessed. He caught it, because deep in us, that's what we hear, being originally part of God, we know you're happy when we're blessing others. You're happy when you're blessed, you're happy when you're blessing others. Because this is the instinct, the inner instinct of what God is. So it's our inner instinct. And then we're caught. He said, this is the person I'm to be related to. I'm to be a person in relation to this person, just as this person blesses the world, I'll side by side with him be a blesser to the world. So his vision was not to be blessed, but to be a blesser. It wasn't to get a land, or to get a child, or get a family. It's the meaning of how far he received. This God, who is the blesser, could be anybody's God, everybody the blesser of him. You see how the Sermon on the Mount turns around. It starts with getting us right with a poor spirit. You mourn about your needs. You're meek, which means you give up the self-activity. Meekness is giving up the self-activity, it's the replacement of the God activity. That's what meekness is. So you start by becoming poor in spirit, and mourning about your condition, and giving up your self-activity. Then you have your first and your build. The fourth beatitude, blessed are the poor spirits at first, blessed are the maimed and mourners the second, blessed are their meek the third, blessed are the hunger and thirst of the fourth, and they shall be filled. Now what comes out next time? Blessed are the mercy of poor, and they shall obtain mercy. You become the giver of the mercy, having become God's mercy. You begin, you'll give the mercy, you keep getting that mercy, and you give mercy. Blessed are the mercy full of mercy to others. Blessed are the peacemakers, not the peace getters. Blessed are the peacemakers, and they should be the children of God. Blessed are the pure heart, pure heart means you see nothing but God. You're moving into God who is love, and therefore you're moving in love with Him. So you see, the devil will turn you from being a getter to a giver. This is the only gospel. Now all other philosophies, even yourself, that's the acid test. All other religions, whether it's Buddhism or Hinduism or Confucianism or Islam or modern philosophies, they center around what I get, what I become. No, God's not a getter, He's a giver. God's another kind of person who's found the life's fulfillment, joy in other people. His immersion in his being, the being of other people. This is what God is. This is what we are when we in this union. And so the true God will you become the most with other people are blessed. So see how fascinating the third tradition is? You see how we can say to educators and medical people instead of being those who get in the beginning education, which makes people give the nice lovers, as it is, or healing, which gives healers, healing lovers, you know what I mean? As a sort of halfway house. And much mystery works, very disappointed because it's a halfway house. Yes, they do. That's right. Quite right, get the horse going, then you pull the car. A social work is the car, as long as the horse is in front. That's very good. I don't know how you say that to automobiles for the day. That's right. So you see, we've got this wonderful self. Thank God there are instincts in it which are never satisfied. That's why there is that in other people who want to do good things. That's interesting. They want to do good things because we're created to do good things. What could it be? Not to be negative to have something, but to do good things, to help people. That's in the underneath. That's why they're there. But that doesn't make them the ultimate. You see, as I said yesterday, there's a gulf between the heights of human love and divine love. You get that in Romans 5. I showed that before. In Romans 5, the differentiation between human love and divine love. Human love has a self-element as its basis. It can't have it. A human is distorted when he's separated from God. A human is meant to be the expression of God. God is love. And then the human is unconditionally involved in loving others. Unconditionally. Which you've got to include your enemies, of course. The human cut off from God is cut off by self-centeredness. So we lose the problem that can be nothing but the egoist at basis. So even our love has an egoistic basis to it. And so Paul says a human loves so long as it's convenient for them to love. They love so far as they prove what they love on. They love those they prove on. God is God's unconditional. But never he proves or disproves. And then he lives and dies. Jesus died. There's that. He exists to meet other people's needs. They're not bad, good, anything else. That's unconditional love. God exists to meet need. And the darker person is, the more they are needed, of course. So in total form, that's God. You see, in a total form, you're done for. Sorry for you. You simply, for kindness, made your bread. Some people eat like your old girls and you don't have fingers. Your bread. The whole existence that has been for others. That doesn't mean you don't enjoy yourself. You see, where in the world got things wrong is this. Where joy is primary and purpose is secondary, you're distorted. That's the form. Where pleasure is primary and purpose is secondary, you're in the form. When purpose is primary and pleasure is secondary, you're in God. I was an agnostic for a time, like a silly kid, about 18, because I began to read certain books, and I began to see my own egocentricity. I got so far. I saw how loving myself, anything was for myself. I suddenly found God was too. Oh, I said, if God liked me, I'll take what I am then. So he said, it said to God, for thy pleasure we are, we're created. I said, God is for his own pleasure, therefore, so do I, it's all right. And then he said to Jesus, for the joy set before him endured the cross was tied to the shade. Well, I said, if he enjoyed the cross was for his own joy, all right, I just did it myself. I haven't seen, you see, that the true basis is you find your joy in your self-giving. Your self-giving gives you joy, but your joy secondly is your self-giving. There are all of us in life. I mean, take a little simple crude example. We don't go far into it, I suppose. You could either ik leer door de niet. Nou, je lift niet. Je lift met de pleasure of eating. It's all done, of course. If you live and you exist for the pleasure of eating, but the pleasure of eating is the only aim of that and means what you eat, well, it won't last too long with that little. You put a pleasure upon a purpose. Now we say, at least we say we do, that we eat to live. We say we eat because we've got to keep going and our energies are eating. Why are we eating to live, you are eating? Now the joy, secondary to the pleasure, secondary to the purpose. And that's where pleasure comes in. We're meant to enjoy ourselves. We're meant to be self-enjoying people. But it's secondary to the purpose. And it fits in. And you get your joy in life, and the other secondary is the purpose. And the purpose is whatever it means, your life is involved, your existence is God's for others. Whatever that means, whatever it involves, you lose everything you're keeping with you, that's the point. This eats you up, the purpose eats you up, you're part of God for others. In doing so, you get to reach possession, lots of pleasure. But the pleasure is just when you need, that's when you're free to enjoy yourself, you're afraid to enjoy yourself. I've got people say to me, of course, I'm all off. My motives are so mixed. Of course they're mixed. I said, you're part of a God, you're part of yourself. You need to be because you think you're together. I said, if somebody says to me, I'm so thankful, I'm helped by what you said, I don't want to say, no, give all the glory to God. No, I'm enjoying it too. Why not? I'm an agent. But the time is, see, is I know it's God. I always try to make a pious remark about it. Of course I know it's God. But also, I'm okay to be in the show. So you see, you're not afraid of your own motives. Put your own motives, let me into your own motives. You have a motive, you want to do this, you want it. Quite right. Secondly. So at any time you drop that off, so that the family didn't feel that necessary, and of course there are other ways in the cross to get it, no. That's it. So that's real. It's full of fun, yet the fun is secondary to the purpose. That's what life is. It isn't the fun in this life. It's when you're not giving your purpose. That goes right to me too. Somebody mentioned the whole question of sex and marriage, well that's it. The true basis of sex is a self-giving act in marriage. It's simple. I belong to you, you belong to me in marriage. Now then, the primary act of sex is the symbol of the total devotion. Either you, you're for me. Second is the pleasure of sex. Now, if you want to get that all wrong, you just run off the pleasure of sex. The purpose is gone, then you'll destroy the sentence for other people. Out of its focus. So, liberty. So, see, self is wonderful. And as I say, thank God, there is in man this basic instinct, which is God's instinct, that we're meant to be for others. And so the world tries to deal with it. But we mustn't deceive ourselves. If people ask me, what's the gospel? To what extent must you have your doctrines right? Well, in the end, you must. I believe. But I say in the end, I was talking to somebody, one of you gathered me, you walked this morning. Let's say, when you're a young believer, just coming, you haven't got to know all about your foundations. If you get into the house through the door, you need to know too much about what's built the house. You get in by the door, and you take Jesus Christ, and you rejoice. That's all right, but you can't live a whole house and a householder, a whole life, without doing a little more than that. And so there comes a time when you need to know, why are you here? What foundations lay under you? I was discussing with them why we must have the cross, must have the resurrection, where Christ as his Savior and his fits right in. Because someone said to me, well, tell me the truth, speak of the blood of Christ and his power of years, I mean, it doesn't reach you very much. Well, all right, time doesn't come, it will. Now, come the time when you see deeper, there's no way out of your self-bound satanically controlled self, but somebody else did a lie for you, did a lie for you. Otherwise you're done for. You'll come to me and see me. Oh, all right, don't bother. Those are the foundations. You drive a car. Well, time has those good moments to change a tire. It's hard that way. You need a little more than driving the car for comfort as you get on a little. Say the same kind of ideas, you know what I mean? So I'm saying, we must have been, when I last asked what the essential gospel is, the essential gospel is The human curse being replaced by the divine curse. That's the essential gospel. I won't quarrel to it, but how? I have no ideas about that. And they're certainly unreliable. But I'm not first of all asking how. I'm asking, is it so? That's so. What I want to find is, if you discuss, people discuss, is what is Christian, isn't Christian? Who's on the right road, who's not on the right road? The ultimate is this. The wrong road is a self-controlled, self-centered life. A life is centered on the, that's the wrong world. That's the satanic world of these satanic destiny. The new world is a world where the real self in you is God. You come back home, and you're just a branch of this vine, a member of this body, and the real person is this person who is self-giving love. He's the real person, and you're just a love material, an expression of him. Now, I'm not going to argue too much how you got there, if you got there. If you haven't got there, I'm not arguing with you. Then you're all clean. That's the ultimate. So as I say, we mustn't be deceived because a person does some good works. Therefore, their life, not necessary. You can go the wrong way. We have a country, we should be kind. And mind you, you're in a kind world. Now, I've gone to a country which has been going down the hill, since up the hill. You're our kids, so you better listen. I'm English. you get a disturbed spirit in England. You don't get a kindness spirit, not used to. Because it's hard to be kind when you're disturbed and immediate. Now, in this country, it's a very kind spirit, because you're in a very happy condition. You're well off, and you're prosperous, and on some side, things are going well. It's very, very easy to be so. You would allow for those things. But because a person shows kindness and does good works, it doesn't necessarily mean they've got that. No. So as I say, it starts with the wrong account of self. Now there's got to be the disappearing of the self as well as the reappearing of the self. The disappearing self, of course, is the process of what we call redemption. In union with Christ crucified and Christ risen. The first phase of disappearing is when at last you come honest enough to go, you'll not be what you should be. That's been codified for us in the law of God. As the Bible says, if you show the law, you can be a law of yourself. All men are. That's why the ultimate judge is going to be. All men are, the Bible says, are a law of themselves. And the Bible says it's possible for non-Christians to show the law written in their heart. In other words, they're non-Christians who receive into their heart without knowing God, without knowing Jesus Christ, knowing anything. But because there is a knowledge of the law, this basis in the soul, they have in their heart said, as far as I know, I want to be what I should be. As far as I know what the supreme being is, I want to be what I understand I should be. There's a place for them. There's a place for them. Because that's the law, as far as you've got the gifts, you've got the gifts on the external, you've got the internal. So I'm saying that there's a sense, a more ill-defined sense, in which that the law is the way things should be, the way things works. The way the universe works is that God is self-giving. God of love, that's all it is. That's all it is. The whole universe is that. So anything which isn't some expression of the God of self-giving is not being. It's broken law. And this consciousness discerns us, as I say, that our consciousness is not what we call our sinless law, or being. However, it's ill-defined and vague, and so God brought in his mercy the Israelitish nations. Thank God we should have no Jesus Christ here if we had a Jewish nation, and built it up on what the law really is, so codify for us what the law is. So we get the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, and so on, the codification of the law, and the codification of redemption, for the preaching of redemption in the blood sacrifices. So the first part of the disappearance of the wrong self is when at last what we call the conviction of sin, repentance. Repentance means change of mind. Repentance doesn't necessarily mean emotion. Doesn't necessarily mean you feel deep. Doesn't necessarily mean you cry. It means you're different types of people. Some will cry more, some will think more. Perhaps you know those who think more cry less, and those who cry more think less. I'm going to say repentance isn't a question of emotion. It's a question of whatever area and size you like to relate it to. It means you change your mind. The word in the Greek, metanoia, means change of mind. You've changed you change your inner concept, not mind the way you just hear it, your inner concept. Nous, the word metanoia, the word nous, noia comes from nous. Nous means the inner, more than just the mental. That's the inner consciousness or something. That's all. Now that's the first thing, isn't it? All of us are redeemed people, we change our minds. At similar time when we thoroughly recognize that we were wrong. And the consequence is we're on the wrong foot, and away from God, and all this, we've done all that before. Now then, we begin the reappearance of the self when in that condition, and when it is total enough for us to have no answer in ourselves, no answer in some build-up of religion or tradition or ritual or anything, nothing about air quality, there's no answer. Well, that's why I call it, what I spoke of as the first collapse. It's nothing you do. Then you're conditioned to find the replacement. Then you're conditioned by, oh, this is what this gospel is. He came to it for me. This is the meaning of the cross of Christ, the resurrection of Christ. That in his death he took away he cut off as representing me. He became cut off as representing me in this long finish in the humanity, in his consequences. That's what death is, a cut off between body and spirit, this is Jesus Christ. That was we on his cross. He represented us. And the cut off was when he died, they were separated between body and spirit. So it was the body of Jesus we were beaten by. So the body of Jesus was the body now representing us. Being us, the head of those. And the burial is the indication it was a real death. As though it says, we were buried there. Now is the chance for a new spirit to come in. It goes, you're a big girl, you really pay their own money. Of course, you want to have the two together. They don't love each other enough. The devil and the Holy Spirit don't love each other enough to live together. They part it. So, out with the other, and in the resurrection came a new spirit. Now, then, the moment you receive Jesus, it happens to you. You've taken your place as one who actually shared in that cosmic resurrection. Now, it does then never appear to you because you were back in history there. Of course, it's a history that goes back to eternity, really, then comes out in history like that. And you were back there, you became part of it. And the moment you did that, then this new spirit, God's spirit, joined itself to you. And you began to be, this other kind of person whose motivation is loving others more than yourself. As I said to you before, the elementary form of truth, which is given us in the Bible, the simple elementary form of this, the first evidence, real evidence, of your born again person, is that the new motivation within you, which you can't help yourself, you've got to love God and not love Jesus. Regardless, more than yourself. That's the key. Before, in the end, yourself was always on top. You did think, and always as long as the self could be. Now you've come to a place where you think the self doesn't be too necessary. Because a new love has been given to you, the love of Christ who died for you, the love of the Father who sent him, and so on. This is the other love. You've now become the other love. The scripture given on that, I told you, Romans 5 and 5, they said, for the love of God, love not for God. Sometimes you have to watch these new conversations. They don't always go to the exact details accurate. They're very lovely in many ways. They sometimes miss the nuances and the real details. And so, love for God is shed abroad in your heart. God's own love. Yes, God's love, not yours. God who is love is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. You begin to love. And so the evidence that you are, as we say, a new creature in Christ, a living person, is that the new motivation is causing you to love God, love Christ, and that begins to be loving people. Begin to sense their need, not share, help them. This is a new life. At the end of your eternal love. Is the evidence that one of us have here? We have concern and compassion. Is that then? So before the concern and compassion of men, there was this new sense of love and devotion to this one. God calls our spirit in whatever way he presents himself to us. Now this is the new life. Now you've become a reappearance. You hardly know it yourself. You've become a reappearance, a true self, the self is part of the divine self. The divine self is the self-giving life. You're part of the divine self, just as the branch is part of the vine. Or member of the body is part of a member of the body is part of the head. Now, the completion of the disappearance, actually, the completion is there. But the thing isn't, or is not of use to us until it's it comes into us as a personal experience in our consciousness. And very rarely, at regeneration, is that total consciousness of unity. Why? Because the total consciousness of unity means you've been taken over. Not being taken, you've been taken over. The total conscious unity is so really just an incident in a vast person. You're what should I say, what works in you is a fragment of a vast person. Of course, the mystery of the fourth dimension is the part holds the whole, you know. That's an awkward one, that's different. In our mathematics and third dimension, that's impossible. The part can't contain the whole. So it doesn't fall to this. That's the sense in which you hold in love. You see, when we think of God, it's as if God loves me, as if it's the real universe. I've got the concept of God loves me. Jesus loves me as if the whole of God loves the whole of the universe, the whole of God loving this. And sometimes people say, and they say quite badly, if there's only one sinner in the world who's lost, God has Christ to die for that one person. This is the sense in which we are the whole. Now that's something I'm talking language and formation now. We're never thinking of it in the whole. There's a sense in which a branch is the whole line in a branch form. It's just a one sexual form of the whole line. It's thinking that I'm the whole line, thinking this. Oh, that's the bit. I'm only saying that to help us to get grasp of the unity, we function as if we're God. We don't have to be a part of God. Because this is Christ functioning, but he's also functioning in you. And you've got to forget about that. He's my Christ, not yours. Go ahead. This is the fourth dimension spirit, yes?
God so loves
that
he
gave. Yeah.
He gave
God that.
He was so loved.
That we did. That's right, exactly. That's right. Thank you. As I said, very rarely at the spirit of regeneration, has unity struck home, because unity means it's he. And you kick back just as an agent. And all of those words in the Bible, we're slaves of a master, we're agents, we're farmers, the God is the one who produces the goods from the soil and so on. We're vessels that contain. All those kind of illustrations. Are fitting there into this period we have to go through. I don't think it's ever short. I never thought about it. Some people, I had one said to me yesterday, some people seem to get through so easily, some people seem to get not so easily, not true. No. If you start easy, you go on hard after. If you had hard first, you'd go easy. I don't think you'll find that a single person gets any other way except the one way. It's not an easy way. In some senses, it's kind of paradox. Some ways it's easy, some ways it isn't. I doubt whether anybody really soaks into the consciousness that it isn't I without some simple soaking. There's some queer ashes running about in the circles. Burn the top of it. I think so. Because it's so deeply ingrained in us. And it seems as common sense, see there's a deep paradox here, it seems as common sense, I'm a person in action, I've got one being a person in action, I've got the whole around, the business around, the this and this and this. Well, for goodness sake, I must keep my mind on stretching, my emotions on stretching, my will and my body, but I must. So it seems the confusion thing, you've got to get out of the way. But the fact is, you've got to disappear before you appear. You've got to go through a disappearing act before you appear. Something going to happen to you by which you seem to cease to be a person. Now, that's ridiculous in a way. Of course you can't cease to be a person. You've got to go through something which is equivalent within you to that. Why? Because if you don't, you remain in this common mixture, which is our very trouble, between the human self and the divine self, with the concept that the divine self is there to improve the human self. And then you're going to turn it all the time. Because the human self is not there to be improved. It's there to express something to another person. Not one single thing about you is wrong. Every single thing God made perfectly beautiful. Everything physical, everything mental, everything psychological, everything expected. Everything perfect for you. Everything should be means in which this person, his will through your will. His emotions through your emotions. His words through your words. His thoughts through your mind. And so on. And he doesn't give you a better mind or better emotions. He said, no, 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 he doesn't. You just really have the human reaction to someone you are. The emotions, yes, are necessary. It's those human reactions God will make necessary. But that's all you are. Now you see, so much about teaching them that this is wrong, so much about convincing that this is wrong. And also because they're conditioned to take it wrong. Now you see, you read the statements all around the Bible. Command us to love our brother. Command us to love Jesus, the God. Command us first of all. And he says that if you don't keep the commandments, you're wrong. Now God, that's a trick. It's to catch you up. If you have said in the vision, you think, well, I better keep them, I'm keeping them. All right, I'll keep them. Come, you'll go. And through that you say, you know, listen, if you read those verses, John's an interesting, John's the one who says that again and again. And in 1 John 2, for instance, he says, the reason, the evidence that we're God, well, we keep his commandments. Well, they're not keeping him. Go on, go ahead. God bless you. I'm not sure you will. But try it out. Hereby do we do know that we know if we keep his commandments. He will set our will that keepeth not his commandments is a liar. That's wrong. Oh, John wrote black and white, he was difficult. And the truth is not in him. And who shall keep his word, in him verily is the love of God perfect. Now it is, not his love for God. In him as an operating love which isn't his perfect. There it is, he said, by his being here, let himself also walk. Is that your courthouse? When you see people, the keeping isn't you keeping it. Yes, it is fair. God gives, the Bible's absolute. And that's why there's a law. Because there's such twisters. Unless there's something you say you've got to be, you get out of it. And so a command in the Bible means this is the absolute, it's got to be. There's no other way. It doesn't say you have to be, as well, no. So the commands in the Bible are, it's got to be. Don't fool yourself. That's heck, God has never lost. You must not see. You must not do so and so. There's black and white stuff on the pages of the end of the day, isn't it? Situation, ethics, and all this stuff. The force of the word command, if the command is not to be, it doesn't say how to be. Now, if you were in the beginning stage, you said, all right, come on, boy, just do it. And not an exhortation to the poor, it tells you to walk along with it. Come on, you ought to love God, you ought to love your neighbor, you ought to be more on fire, you ought to have power, you ought to have peace, you ought to have joy, you ought to have these things, and you ought to do that inside. Because you see, you're looking at the possibility that you will do these things. And when you get the things, you say, no, if they're always you keeping this, the keeper's inside you. It's God, the God who is love who's expecting the love to you. It's the vine, you abide in him, the vine life through the branch is expecting that they're producing the fruit that Jim said. Now you've cut the goats. So you see how clever the Bible is. It catches it on the level they take. And that's very good. It doesn't come bump, and finish the case having death. If you're sore enough to take it. That's the thing in the Bible. So it catches you out, all the time. And see how in essence is there. So there's this theory. I don't think you're very sure, but I believe basically somewhere in radical. Somewhere, somehow. Not by searching it out. A revelation somehow. God can fit these things into us. It somehow can settle into us, right to the bottom. That is not you. The point is, we all say it isn't me. We all say we can't do it, but we all think we ought to. That's our problem. It isn't the I can't and don't. It's the ought to is our problem. That's our problem. We've got a wrong idea of the self. Not only we can't do it, we say we can't. We don't believe it, we say we can't. And we don't do it. But we think that we ought to. Oh, I'm ashamed of myself. I ought to. No, you ought not. You neither can or you can, don't, never will. This is the subtlety of a great chapter. Any of you who will dig further, if you really want to get further than, it isn't doing it in some way, it is the structure of these things in Bible terms. Romans is a great book, of course. It isn't easy. I only came through that. I had 2 weeks. What you didn't have a traveling in the canoe up a trip into the Congo. I hadn't got too much to do except to stop occasionally visits and talk to them, being paddled along. I dug up Romans then, and I got some of my depths there out of the time to find out what Romans meant. I don't usually use commentaries much, I prefer to get straight, but in this case I did. كنت لاقي إنسان كنت أصدر عندما كيف يخطي البيت كيف لا يعني هذا المطور من السيس هي وضع السيس هي أصدر فلي حد لي فكاش بيانا جبني يجي نسيب لكي يفتح يديد أعوارك اللي يتكس في بابس يعني هو يسنح بس سطر شابسة وضع السيس وضع السيس إذا لو عادي لو كيف يصير That's the first operation of this law of God, which causes you to say, I didn't do what I should do. You're up against it. You're guilty. And then he finds the blood of Jesus Christ, that's all disappeared. And God tried to tell you that, go away from Jesus Christ, the resurrection is a proof that God accepted you. So in God's sight, you're guilty. It's not that. So it's gone forever. God from him, God from you. And that's guilt. That's back in the earth. Now that's very wonderful. That's Romans 6. Then suddenly it keeps saying, now therefore you're not under the law. It keeps saying that. It pops it in. Therefore you can evict it because you're not under the law. Suddenly. Not under the law. There's a whole chapter in Romans 7. It's a chapter. Which says, in Romans 6, it says you're going to sin, which means you're dead. You'll be cut off. Dead means cut off from a new life. Dead doesn't mean disappear. You'll just cut off one dimension, you need another. You're cut off from the kingdom of heaven. Because the kingdom of heaven, that's what death illustration is. Kingdom of heaven is down here, not there. This is the kingdom of heaven. It's innocent. So it says you died to sin, that old control by that old spirit of sin. You're put down to law. Romans 7 says you died to law. What does that mean? Down to law. You're cut off from the control of law. Why? Because the ultimate of law for the redeemed person now is just this point. Well, I want to be better anyhow. I want to. Romans 8, first of all, the law says you didn't. Deeply. No, I didn't. Guys, first of all, you didn't. You're guilty. All right, you're guilty. You're under condemnation, under judgment. Thank God for Jesus Christ. That's the new first step in. That's the first phase of the operation of the law upon us in our unredeemed condition. Now you're in the redeemed condition, now the law still operates on this level. Now it doesn't say you didn't, since you ought. Or I should say, originally said, you should, but didn't. You should be done, but didn't. And you're admitted for guilty. Now it said, you should, and can't. Now, Romans 7, you want to, you're a new person. So you'll find, are you delighted in all God, the inner man, not in the inner man, but in the spirit. Well, you and Jesus Christ are joined together, you and God are joined together. You delight in the Lord, now you delight in God, you're God's person. You're God's person, you see. Now, because you've still got the quality of yourself, and you have what you stand with alone. We all speak this, all the love, all the good, all the victory, all the power, all the peace, all that, this, all the others, you see. That comes out of them, all the thoughts from us. You ought. Because you've got to sit and say, oh, I'm for that. Now, the illustration given us in Romans 7 is very interesting. Romans 7, I won't go too deep into that, I haven't got our Bibles come study here. But in a certain section, they're called to live a personal witness. That did not mean personal witness. See, I tell you what I mean. He said, I was a new man in Christ. Now, before I was a new man, he was a great legalist, you know, Paul, of course, a great Pharisee. Oh, I kept all the laws and so on. I was up on top and so on. Of course, his supreme sin was self righteousness, of course, self love. But I had this supreme sin, like the other brother in the father's house. When I came off that, at the exhalation, down he came. And found his God, and found Jesus Christ, and so on. Now he says, I'm now a new person. So he says, here's the law of God, I like the law of God. So how do you discover the 10th commandment? Now I never saw the 10th commandment for a kid. I saw the first nine, but there were more acts. I mustn't steal, I mustn't lie, I mustn't live down here, I mustn't murder. They're acts. I could go ahead there, but I mustn't lift idols and whatnot. I can see that. Suddenly comes the realness of the 10th commandment. The fifth one, should we covet? Covet in the dirt. Oh, I'm over there. I'm for that. I'm that great. I'm a dog. I don't covet anything. Sixth, without some sort of covet, covet to deserve anything. You see, God is teaching that the soul can only be self-loving. Cut yourself over as if you can do something, or you can be yourself, self-loving. And sixth thing about self-loving is what is so great. It's a little conflict. Deep inside you don't want to go that way, you want to go God's way, but you said, I want to go, I want to be self-loving. If I think I what I do, and I think I can do it, you really haven't been appeared. It comes from the bottom of God, because it's only appeared to him that cut the left and cut the bottom of God, immediately start on the other way around. And you're constantly, I do want this, I do want that, I do come into that, I do come into that, you're falling off. So when we are people say that's a conflict, you know they're always saying that isn't a conflict. You look at the conflict area of the government, you don't think there. That's different. That isn't a conflict. Life is a conflict. Why am I out of life? When I want to do it, I must somehow love more, I must feel more like fellow, like that fellow, I must have more power, I must have more this, I'm fellow here. Well, there's a long conflict, because you don't want to be like that, and you keep at it again and again. Somebody spoke to the doctor, only one thing, that's alcohol yesterday. Not just because of the patients of the little girl. What about addiction? I said, you never get free from addiction by looking at it. By looking at it, you're looking at you, the person who I addicted. And you mean somehow you want to be free somehow. And look at yourself, but I'm free personally. There was that way. There was that way. The only answer to anything in life is, I'm lovely from now on, Mr. The only answer is when you say, oh yes, I've always been an addict. I'm done for, that's all I am. We're all addicted, depends on what. We all have causes, then what kind of alcohol? So, whether it's pride or what you like. Well, the quality of alcohol isn't the sort. The answer is to say, oh, that's all I am. But thank God, so at this moment I'm in alcohol now, or I thank God for that. That's your business. Now you come off yourself as if you could change yourself. Of course I can't change. That's what I'm going to be at it. I know I'm not living in this moment. At this moment I'm not now thinking, thank God. For my sake alone. And that's where they do me. I do nothing but my business, God's business. I have a very high attention on what God is containing me, who's controlling and containing me. Now, if in the course of time you're going to be again, you say it again. You say, Lord, I'm caught up again. I love it. And you come out with the guilt and some conviction and say, I'm going on. I sinned. Thank you, Lord, for the bounty you have. Because I thank you, Lord, mercy. Oh, I can't. Oh, I'm a clear teacher now. That's your show again. See, that's keeping free from self. Same by the patience. You're just in the other way. You don't get through. Because if you do, you're looking to say, why am I different? Why don't I come free of impatience? Why don't I stop hating people? And if you've been a good person, you'll never be a good person. You're only a bunch of hate everything else, that's all you are. And you transfer your attention. You see, come yourself to the real self in which is Christ in you. And you live in the instant and the present. You live in the present. That's the word walk. That's why there are those quotes, that ugly word walk. Every day you find a new person after giving you your foundations in Christ, they say, I'm walking. When Paul in Ephesians talked about now you're going with Jesus Christ and with death and resurrection, I said, we'll discuss that. And speaking with him and so on. That's it. I, the apostle of the King of the Lord, seek to walk worthy. A vocation of your call. Genuinely, quote yesterday, if we live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. As therefore we receive Christ Jesus Lord, so walk in the Colossians. Every single that you go through, you find it moves over from a discussion of what our relationship has become in Christ and through Christ. Now then, what you do is you carry that by walking. What? One step at a time. You can't walk two steps at a time. One step at a time. And it's the beautiful way of life, landed only in the present tense. It's only now. And don't look ahead. I love the babies of my bad actors. I'm intending to money actors. I love them. I took some time to love them and lived longer than I believe. We got there, didn't we? I went to Hagia a few years ago, I was in love them also. But the Africans, they're pragmatic. The Indians are philosophical. God needs to know them. The Africans are pragmatic. Down to earth. And I tell you, they can teach them a few lessons. They should be there. And they told me this. They said, brother, these are the things of Christian life. Leave the past and the blood, don't take guilt and the condemnation of the past. Leave the past and the blood, leave the future with you, and get walking. He's the part of the blood, he's the vision that he's walking. So help him. No, that's just now. Well, we're not losing it for now, thank God, we're going to the Lord. And don't say, shall I lose it again? Yes, that's a big God. God's not people, not people, so they're not people. And if you do lose it in the tomorrow, you say, fine, you'll lose it again. I'll get up at the end of the case, up to you now. You'll find you're going to get cut through it. If you're not that level. 这把钱放哪去了？行。So you see, when you see this, your law is the law, because law is to you. Law is God's character of us. Because the spirit says, I'm going back to my father, without me being done. Full of ourselves, run our own life, all right, God, if you want your life by yourself, here's the law. But of course, that has to go. Because we know we go, he didn't help you. That's how we get saved. That's how we get saved. See, yes, the law has cut it out to bring us to Christ. Now, in the redeemed life, when we haven't yet known the subtlety of this whole business, the law still remains as it were there, if you get rid of them, you'll the law says, you ought to teach you to count, of course, not that you can. And so, in that great chapter, if you understand, it's not difficult to study that chapter, but a basic chapter to the understanding of the ways of God, Romans 7, right in the middle, you get that, operative word that says this, for the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not, no more. The will is present with me. Oh, I want to do the right thing, I get stirred up to do it. How to perform that which is good I find not, it's not there. It's not there. There will be there. So you see, the inner subtlety has to give up the idea that the will becomes something. That's our subtlety. As long as I say, you need to teach me and say, I can't do it. You don't have to really mean what he thinks. He can't do it. But we say we want to do it. Now, keep all that. And don't take it, they put on your mouth, don't take it. You know, I can't, I have to do nothing except be a common son of demon. That's all. It's God in me. That is obviously. Now, it's.
No, we can't do these things that we think we are. Do we give up time?
Yes, oh, do not try. Don't try to be good. That's the worst part of sin. No, you can't because you're caught. See, God has come to catch you out. You see, if you come to God, you're caught, you go against you. You see, you can't follow them. He can't now. I'll tell you this, you come back next year and you can follow them. You can't! We poor things are strays. I said, follow my ears, I'll just take you down. And on the ears, you spend. Of course. So it's a kind of joke. You can't go back to the old life. That's why you're saved. You can't. You can slip. You can slip, but you can't go back. So, you see, the language is then living, if you follow through the Bible on this, no fit is someone mentioned to me, Tommy Gibson, one of the folks in the last year here. We come out now, no condemnation. Now, the law is created by law is principle. The principle that by which is created by cost that's in me. The principle is, he's taken me over. That's the principle. Has set me free from the law in there. Why? Because the law is there, says you ought, but I can't. And now, of course, I struggle to do it, I can't do it, now I'm confused and that's what it's all. So when I say, give up, I never should do that, I never should have been a single thing. Yes, but I've got the year he's over. Can't do the thing. But you are in me. Now, I do. And not under that law, because that law says, I ought. Now, say, I can't, so I came to the law then. I to the law. Now, I'm under a new principle. I don't like that word. A new person, a new relationship. This person is functioning in me. So I live now in Lomidate, I just operate quite naturally with this new mind. Let this new mind be new, the witness of spirit, the child of God, and guidance, and so on, that all about the victory chapter. But we visit Lomidate, you live in Lomidate, you live in Lomidate, visit Lomidate. You visit Lomidate, you live in Lomidate, when we get stirred up for something we think we ought to do. Maybe it's good, because we hear something in the Bible, or hear some address. Or she was such, or stir up a lot of people was doing. Or get out of some failure or sin or something. Of course. Now we're getting back. You know, then you're in bondage. But you're back in the middle of this, you're getting more than you can't. So you see, you pay visits to the reason, you have come back here with a job, wouldn't you think? So you live in Romans 6 and 8, and visit Romans 7. and relatives of eight, then it wasn't just put in there because this is the key to this new Kabbalah. Now then, when you're there, now you can apprehend, comprehend unity. Because if you use it, you know, you have to take it out. I say this, I think that makes a constant doubt inside you. You know, the whole doubt is a joke because he didn't think like you. And so, to be the permanent joke. Not the permanent joke to me. It's you. Because you're free, you're allowed it to come, because they get the family in unity. That's all. And you allow all things to go for these little ideas. But I will say that this will say you start to think that's all right. There we are. Now, just unity. Now, it is possible, I can say, possible that the perception of being there as unity does mean another act of faith. Faith is a conscious choice, you know. Faith is the biblical term for choosing something. So the to supply the demand. Here's the supply, here's the demand. In the say, I take my supply. And I told you the operation of that law of choice is what you take takes you. You take the hit, it takes you. You take a chair takes you. You take the patient takes you. You take a wife, she slowly takes you. it worked out that way. I think the evidence of the Bible is that the purpose of us, there is this second act. That's what people talk about, sometimes the baptism of the Spirit, sometimes the full salvation, sometimes the entire sanctification, sometimes the second rest, sometimes the second blessing. All these different names. And there we have the very second act. Why? Because, as I say, the very human, because of this confusion between the human person and himself, have accepted into a consciousness that it is a fixed unity, and only unity to be a person of you. She only means by inner awareness. Yes, it is that way. Everything you like, your ideas, becomes unaware. Now, for instance, you think your relationship, the best relationship with you, is our relationship to our bodies. Now, you're not your body, you're deep in your body. You're the you to your body, so you're in your awareness of it. You don't understand how it works, certain occasions. You don't understand if your eye works, or your ear works, or your tongue works, certainly you don't make that work. Try to make that work for all of you. You've got a level of continuity. Part of you, you're conscious that you have the eye, the ear, or the ear, using them. This is a beautiful unity. Therefore, out of you, it becomes a liberation, a continuity, and comes to the other conscious mentality. That's why, when you have a sick eye or a sick ear, you either go to prayer or a doctor or both, because you want to get a continuity restored. Now, I should say to you that I think most of us haven't been even aware of this, especially aware of unity. In the same way we have of our primary acceptance or justification, usually we have it. The church should get it because we need because of justification and unification. That's the all of us will redeem, probably all of us, it didn't just necessarily, but probably all of us, that the awareness we are accepted. It didn't necessarily necessary because it depends on your faith, not the awareness that I feel by that word is what deconvention conveys to you. But most of us, that when we are redeemed, we are aware, we are accepted. That we are happier and easier because we are accepted and forgiven, and child of God, and live with the parents, and so on. Now, having awareness of unity, for most of us, is a further stage. Because, you see, that would mean a sense of separation between you and God is gone. And you're just part of the eternal, the part of the one. On earth, friends are like you, you're the life of the vine. As I said before, you move from being Christ-minded to being vine-minded. So many talk about yourself, you now come to your own. Yes, I'm the main cause, despite myself, whether it's the main cause, this person is the one I'm functioning by me. And so on. For most of us, there has been that act, crisis, specifically as a this is a kind of sense of hectolabia. Now, it's a new fact. It was there for the moment you redeemed. But it hasn't, as I said before, the general effect doesn't look a person's face, it's a prove them, they must prove to you that it's true. And so they don't have nothing to come down to you taking it. Now, you haven't been probably aware enough of your needs, you see, here in those days. And maybe you've got time to hear that. They're sorry about what I'm talking about. Maybe they're near you, all right. You haven't reached the condition which you need to be aware of this. But when you become aware of it, then you see there's the affirmation of this fact. What you take touch you, now that's not your business. What I have to learn, what you have to learn, in the last time of technique, is to think on my choices. And my choices in turn are based on what is to me the most allowable thing I can choose. That's all it means. There's no proof of God except you, the proof. There's several proofs of God. And what I'm taking in is I'm a free being. Now, in my freedom, through various situations and conditions, I've come to see to me this is the most wonderful thing in time and terms. Is there a God out there? A God who lies in his prayer against himself like that in Jesus Christ? A Savior does this for me? Probably gave the letter? I have attached my choice to them. That's all I've got. That's all I've got. And you can prove nothing else in yourself. In the witness you have. But you don't live by your inner witness. You don't live by your inner totality of your choice related to what you've chosen. That's all. That's all. That's all. So you don't depend, ultimately, on the awareness being imparted to you. Actually, it does, I think, when you get some of it. You don't pass around that. You don't say, am I aware? I think I told you that before. That's when the last point of the sentence has to go. See, this self-centered, self-seeking self wants to know itself, wants to be able to have what it wants in it. You see the meaning? And so I say, I want to be sure I've got him. I want to be sure I know. It's still a common eye. Now, God loves people who, they set a reason. So this is the basis of life. Remember my feel ability. This is the fact. I just feel the normal natural life, and the basis of my fact, the basis of my life is this, that God is the other thing to me. So he has given us to a place where we do without confidence, without awareness. Now, that doesn't mean you know that. Because the principle that, as I say, in all of life, what you choose, chooses you. You take a profession, you know the only profession. I say this every time, you know the profession. Since I know the language, therefore. Well, I can't tell the day when I was very surprised. I spent these months checking at it. It seemed to go in here, come out there. And suddenly I found I'm copying it. It had cost me. See, the awareness had become part of me. I couldn't get anywhere. It's just part of me. I really hit it. It's copying it. It's become part of me. I went back 20 years after my thoughts were very like that. It's become part of me. So that's what I mean by something changing over. But that's not my business. That's death of that business. That's not my business. My business is to take it. I make it my own. The way that it takes itself known to me, that's his business. So it's not your business that you should be have this awareness. That's the importance of the spirit. And it's very good, it's very well. Maybe very easy contrary to it, it's not about it, something. If you see the past, you find that the witness, maybe. And you may come at our own way. She's coming with it, he's able to get the tongues. As long as the spirit gives the tongues for, the captain's spirit, and you have the spirit that's the views of many books in many different ways. He comes by that way inside of you, the Pentecost. I don't know how to know it, but it's about a different way. No matter how you come, but many of you know this. If you have come to it, you may have set the cross. It's part of you now. This is an amazing thing. It's become part of you. This is amazing with the unity. Well, what you love, you need to be sure of your part of the unity. That's all you have to do. If you see, you don't see so far, don't bother. But if you see so far, even if you say, well, I come to having a rest, I've grown unity to that. You didn't sat down on your chair. The room for which the chair moved to make sure it was turned over in the chair business is not yours. That turns out as the day. Now, now you need it. Now, come to what you see yourself, that's what we've got to. Once you're up to the Lord, something changed seats or something. Don't run away now. Yes? Yes, sir. Set up the stretch, you'll sit down if you want, no roads you want to impose. Yes? I think so on the outcomes there, because there's a whole area of life which I always find Christians have worked up to a kind of superficialness. And they're going to pray about this, and you listen to God about this, and you show God about this. But they have the kind of tension that no longer will have gone. Therefore, as a whole area in which you live out consciousness, therefore you just are immersed in your activities. And that is being good, that is being good, that is good, and how you got it in the world, and how you do it. You're neither God conscious or self conscious, yes, you are. And there are areas of life like that. God becomes a subconscious tree. It comes up to service every now and then. You don't try and force it up, it's just yourself. So they love the area because it pleases you to just be yourself. The other area I talk of, which is I don't know if I say more than I think that to be the area in which the world becomes truly living out of the world. Not that we have, we are. In other words, by living not naturally, freely, nothing appears to us, we appear to be just ordinary humans. You see, not the affair of subconscious connection, not the affair of subconsciousness, they're meant to be selves. So they don't have subconsciousness, self-desire, self-feeling, self-hunger. You don't have it, because you believe you're unity. It's not really you, the higher view is this God. On the other hand, there's this unconscious area, the customer's more important area, as I know, I can say that I think that to be the area in which the life shines because we're different people. That's the source of coming something different throughout the ages now. Well, something different is coming through, Jesus Christ. So the life shines, so when we're forgetting God in the world, the normal people, actually something shining out of us, which was not there before this relationship was impaired. The other area is the conscious area, and I explained the importance of that to you. But the whole point of us being humans is to be in human relationship to situations of people. And that means we become conscious of them. We have reactions to them. And we're only really awake when we have reactions. And therefore the point of God is that we should have negative reactions, not that we shouldn't have them. There's no reason to fear and doubt and dislike and question and you're getting and being patient. No, not at all. And hate. Anything like normal. It's that we can perfectly normal people have perfectly normal reactions. And God wants us to be like that, perfectly normal people. Because the whole point is that relates to you. The moment you have a human association, you're related. If I have a feeling, that feeling is real to me. If I doubt a feeling, it's real to me. If I hate a person, the feeling is real to me. The moment I have a reaction to a person, I'm related to that person. Now, as I said, the difference between the law and we have pretty being in Christ. If the world doesn't know what to do with their reactions, the whole of life is doing reactions, causing it. But they don't know what to do with their fears and their hates and their opposition and their beliefs, they don't know what to do with it. So they get the conclusions of life, they don't know how to get out of them. Now to us, those are the springboards of faith. They're the springboards of faith. Because that subconsciously, the basis of our life is unity now. Because if we know, and we know once when you discover a person, you say, ha, I can't do that, I don't like it, it's all about it. Now, the honest, I don't like it. But wait a minute, that's not the real thing. I'm a special of God now. So this life is sparking up the affirmation of the God of love value. That brings God to action. So the negative begins up for the positive following up. The negative is necessary for the negative and positive. So you have the negative first. And you start by those reactions, and then you repay those reactions by God's reactions. But I say, if you doubt the thing, you start to say, oh dear, that's hopeless. And then somebody says, if you say you'll pray. He caught me up this morning. I gave him some girls being very old, and we were sitting down with them down there before Jeremy spoke. I had a little bit of a hearing. And we had two pages behind us, we shouldn't have been talking, they were talking. And I kept saying, well, why are they talking? He didn't care. I had the human reaction of the lawyers. He had the human, he had the reaction, which is telling him. See, he said, tell you about it, I wasn't praying as a lawyer. Here's him to me. So your reaction is giving you a chance for pain. That's a bit of a difference sometimes, even if you're negative. So this is the meaning of that. But when they talk about glory to you, but the glory on me, there's still truth in both formulations. There's the enrollment that they fear. And they are thinking, oh God, how can you say that God lives in me? Full of evil, full of evil, strong fire, full of evil. But I did what I tell you that you've got certain functions. And I think you're not your thought on evil, you do with them. Since you're talking with others in this method evil, you do with them. You're misusing the word evil. Even if misusing the word evil is very dynamics, it's got to use. The term is something that's only seeking God. So it's very important. Because so many get this way to self-misinterpret it. You think it's wrong to fear, wrong to dislike, wrong to sin, wrong to be patient, wrong to hate. No, it doesn't. Sometimes you desire the religious and person. This is the normal right human reaction. It's what to do with it. It parks you in your own relationship to somebody. It parks you into some that which is going to come through. How do we get jealous? So now we have to be yes.
Yes. Then,
the husband says,
you can trust me with
this,
I'm sharing
the truth. That's right, because the husband says, you can trust me, it's an honored heaven. That's it, it's an honored heaven. It's a wonderful thing, it's a glory in our tribulations. Because God puts it, I never like it. No, you get out of the camp. No. But all right, I thank you for God. That, now you see, that changed the whole outlook. You see how we all naturally say, oh, dear, dear, one day we'll get him, we'll be free of our burdens. So we've got this idea, no, our burdens down there, our miracle which God will come through to us. Now you've got to start an inner acceptance there, a dying to hurt self. Now the point of the hurt self is, if you've got a hurt self, you can't keep coming from the hurt self. There's a whole book in the Bible about that. That's the wonderful letter to the Hebrews. Now, Hebrews presents, I don't know if you know, Hebrews were hurt people. They sacrificed, they suffered, they lost their goods, they lived in Jesus Christ. But some of the accounts of them, they lost their way, and they were questioning and grumbling and sorrowing in this hurt condition because of their sufferings. And the writer, Paul, or whoever it was, sought to put to the Christ. And he put truth in Christ in three ways, and he stopped them up. He said, you're Hebrews, you're the sent apart. Christ is like your Moses, and God Moses to come out from the enemy. But Christ is your Moses, taking up the world. Now he says, Christ is like your Joshua. Joshua could be in the public prayer. Christ is taking you into the land that Christ is in you, and you're it. Then he stops. He says, I'd like to take the Father, but I can't see conflict. Christ is also a high priest. Now a high priest is a person for the world. The interpretation of high priest in that is a high priest is God who takes for among men, or ordained for men, to bring it to God. See, that's what they are. They take for among men, that's different from word, flesh, and devil, or ordained to come back among men to bring them to God. That's a high priest. Now, he says, I can't put it there because you can't see it. The first one that hurts, I can't say, don't have to be a co-priest. You're going to share this priesthood, and meanwhile, take the man may not just to be hurt and miserable and try to get escape. See, that in the hurt, for bring the other man. He says, I can't take you there. So you see, a hurt self can block it. Now, this dying is released from the hurt self. What is the consequence? The consequence of release from the hurt self, the first consequence here, is a sense of risen life. It says here, all those saying about the hell of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus, but they may then enter our body. For we which live are always living unto death, for Jesus' sake, as the life also of Jesus, but they may then enter our mortal flesh. What's that mean? It means that if I get free, I can feel hurt. Well, I can feel hurt. I can feel not like it. But if I get free from being beaten down by the hurt, then all I know this is that's an adventure here. This isn't a frustration, it's an adventure. You're going to hear some more, I've accepted, Lord. And now, your conscious God is taking over. Now, a voice that belongs to you. In your mortal body, you're not being oppressed and depressed and miserable and complaining, although there's an background that's still suffering all right. But you're up, because Christ is God. Now, that itself is a ministry. There's something in you that others can listen to that isn't a man. God could they come to that getting their fear, their disqualities, their suffering? No, they can't. So what's the problem is communicating. They should convince them that he is absolutely into the body. That's why we have to get pretty long verse, just taking the thought. Now we are in the next stage. We've come so far, we haven't come the whole way, and this is the now thing we're talking about. You see, the problem is God's operation by man. Man operation is God's operation. All the Bible is God getting man's operation. Come on, Moses, get out and do that job. Come on, Gideon, go do that job. Come on, Jesus, go do it. Or it's just a man's operation. Because it's by our personality God comes through. Now, some of our we talk on the negative end. As I say, I'm pressed under into home conditions and visions of the lack of church and all sorts of problems. All right, I accept those things, the situation God put me in. The right to accept them. All right, this is the dying world of Jesus. Or I say, God knows this is good, I've got certain issues, certain peace in me, God's in this thing. That's only the negative. The positive now is I move out with God to see something happen. Now, through my personality, I move out to see something happen. Now, how do I see something happen? Well, first of all, I think we can always find it. A certain commission. But the word used of a priest in the Bible, an intercessor, is an intercessor who lays hands in the gap. God looks for those hands in the gap. Now, all our lives have them. Maybe you love God. I have some. Love God. Who needs to have a gap? I knew he talked about some yesterday. Maybe a lot of difficulty where the situation and we consider the commission. This should happen. Haven't it happened? This should happen. We've talked about that in our families, of course, didn't we? Now, a sense of commission is something within your reach. Of course, in our prayers, we may have to put names in your blood and don't touch them again, and then out of it. But we each in our own lives have areas which we need. That's a commission. We don't think that. It may have been a challenge to know. There could be a Myanmar, Indonesia, or Venezuela, or something. All right. But that's an act of calling. Now, so a commission is where you sense that your life is related to the situation. Now, we're moving on. Now, how do we fulfill our commission? All commissions are fulfilled inwardly. That's why the word, when Moses put on the word faith, it's put on the word faith. Everything in life from God downwards is done by the inner operation of faith. What do you mean? Well, take a simple thing. If I say the same wrong question, well, how does a carpenter produce this? He produces that by lack of faith. What do I mean? Well, when a carpenter has a commission, make a desk. What does he do? He thinks first, thought will be, Father, Son, Spirit. He thinks, Let me see, yes, it could be this, it could be this. You can't define your thoughts. They can run about. But there, or else you have a very clear thought. Well, should be this, should be this, should be this. All right. How do you have the word? Word is the declaration of Jesus. That's the key point, the word of faith. Jesus Christ is the word, the great word. The word is, I said this, I'm going to make a mess like this, I'm like a girl or something. Thought, word, deed. Now, from the word, all it seems to speak. When we make a decision, that comes from the other of us, or with us. When we say a word, somebody's coming and speaking about us, it comes into the deed. Now, in the ordinary human way, we do it ourselves. Well, the company has a thought. Well, how should we make it? The word, we make it like this. Here's the drawings. Now, he goes and gets his tools, gets his wounds, and produces his gifts. What will it be? That's how things come into existence, all through, from God down to us humans. Now, the difference in our case is this. We start that all life starts from within. The operation of the word of faith. That's what we're talking about. Now, it starts with a thought. It starts by considering things. In our mission, we've done it for years. We've gathered together, what God can for this country, for that country, for this need, for that country, to sort out among ourselves and our God's involved on our job. Sort out and find out what kind of thing God and our children should happen here or here or here or should start happening. Now, your word was crystallized, your thoughts could have the word. Now, the word means, we're saying, God means, the difference I'm talking about is, this is the being God. Now watch this. We're going to be agents of God. We're just expression of God. So that thought, word, and deed is not ours, it's God. Through our believing, through believing. But we're pretty much with him. He's thinking this. And calls us and says, all right, this is the thing. All right, by the way, now, remember this. We're saying now, God, you understand this is going to be your will. You're all going to do it. You guys, trust us, have been faithful. You're all going to do it. All right, God, you've done it. And in the sense we see the future of the present. Now, this is the word of faith. Now, the deed lay in our mind. The deed knows it's coming to us. It does. To some extent, we are going to fulfill our own prayers. And that then, and we know that in some way, express our identification of the, through our bodies, through our hearts, through our mind, through our dedication. Jesus leads us to his body. So that's my husband and body. We know in the dealing with these things of spirit, we know that the final isn't the human. Now, our carpenter is his. That's why he's given the divinity. A carbon of divinity, but the wood is given, the truth is God. And so the whole world is divinity. But that they can only produce beyond the divinity what is within their reach, what they've got the sources for. When they have got the sources, they can't produce it. That's always our problem in life, isn't it? You haven't the resources to produce what we want to. Now we're in the sources there. We're in the world of the sources. Our work is God's operation by man, now then, on our level. We're saying, God, first of all, yes. Yeah, this is the thing. This is our thing. This is what you intend to. This is what you answer. Whatever the situation may be, commissions are going to come along. All right, Lord, I'm going to write you this thing out. How are you going to do it? That's the word. And out of the word of faith comes the word of schedule. The word is the creative word. That's Jesus. The creative word. This is the essential word. Now, from the word, it comes, the deed comes out, and we're not saying the deed comes out by us, partly by us. Now, a mission has learned that. A mission can collect from that. The only one which is correct, because they haven't got this clear, and they think it's their doing. And then when they go, and they lay, well, and they lie, they don't work. And they look at it. Because they've mistaken their thought, it was their doing. They have, we are doing a part of God's doing. God's way of action is, we think he fits to our minds, we come to certain conclusions and statements, we say, this is going to happen. We're available now, and we miss you. As he calls it, we don't push around, as he pushes, we put it into situations. And we do these situations, and we do a certain amount ourselves. We're not picking a first down. We're simply a part of the agency. We're saying, well, we are thinking that this thing done is going to come to pass. And what's wrong with doing this, we're not going to do something that's going to come to pass. Now this is the operation. This is man in action. And this is the adventure of life. And I'm just saying that we take no strain in this. Us around it, we're just ourselves. But everyone else has just we have a life. In that just ourselves life, there are situations all of us, plenty of all of us have situations which are unpleasant, which press upon us. Now, we say, no, these are God's situations, they're adventures. We take the dying of the Lord Jesus says against the enemy and keep against them, etc. Now, having accepted them, we can say, all right, Lord, now something in this now. And with the commission would probably clarify to a certain extent, we could be able to see to some extent where we are, we found.
Yeah,
because
it already happened,
yes.
We never
need
to see it.
That's right, that's right. We act, that's what about the inner action of faith, and then our bodies produce the different parts of the system. This is the word. Yes, yes, that's right. Yes, we do, that's right. Yes, that's it. So you don't have to know and try what to do. There's a single thing, you can't help it. That's the way to get it, you can't help it. There's a single thing, you can't help it. I've been as lazy as I can, so I can't help it. I'm a little person. There isn't a question about why aren't I like so and why. Don't stop it. If you don't see what to do, say, well, God, if you want to be lazy, it's up to you. I see that doesn't register that. If God wants to do it here, do nothing, it's how he does it here, do nothing, it's his business. Don't push around. He'll call you to do what he asks you to do, that's all. Very, very patient people. You'll get a little rest now. Yeah.